prayer is that you are among those who are standing upon those exceedingly great and precious promises which are given in the Word of God. Appreciate you being here this evening. I'm glad to be with you. I'm enjoying my part of this gospel meeting immensely. And prayerfully, some of the things that I've had to say from the Word of God have been a benefit as we've been meeting together this week. But it's good to be with you again this evening. I'd encourage you to take out your Bible that you might be able to follow along with me. And while you're doing that, let me, as I said, say that it's good to see you here. I have a guest with us this evening, my mother-in-law, Sarah Bailey. She surprised me. I wasn't expecting her to be here. It's good to see her and others that are visiting from other places. We're just so grateful for your presence here tonight. In those Bibles, I encourage you to open them to Matthew chapter 19. Matthew chapter 19. We're going to have a somewhat lengthy reading here, but follow along with me. We're going to begin in verse 16 with reading some events which will be familiar to most of us. Matthew chapter 19, beginning in verse 16, the text says, "Now behold, one came and said to him, 'Good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?' So he said to him, 'Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. But if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments.' And he said, 'Which ones?' Jesus said, 'You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and your mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself.' The young man said to him, 'All these things I have kept from my youth, what do I still lack?' And Jesus said to him, 'If you want to be perfect, go sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me.' But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Then Jesus said to his disciples, 'Assuredly I say to you that it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Again I say to you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven.'" Now the events that we read of there with the rich young ruler are also recorded, parallel accounts in all the Synoptic Gospels, in Mark chapter 10, verses 17 through 22, and Luke chapter 18, verses 18 through 23. And I guess that all of my life, as I've heard preachers preach about the rich young ruler, has always been to the negative. And they always focus in on those last two verses, particularly after the rich young ruler went away sorrowful because he had many great possessions. Then they begin to talk about how hard it is for rich men to enter the kingdom of heaven. And though there are things to be said about that, and a number of things we could note that are wrong about the rich young ruler, for a few moments this evening, I want you to consider with me some right things about the rich young ruler. For as I read through this text, yes, those last few verses do bring some sadness, though we don't ultimately know what the fate of the rich young ruler was, what he did ultimately. But nevertheless, I appreciate many good things and many right things about the rich young ruler in that text. As we think about some right things with the rich young ruler, in the first place, I want you to note that he came with the right question. You see that in verse 16 of our text here in Matthew chapter 19. Read it with me again. He came and said to him, "Good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?" In the first place, notice what he wanted. He wanted eternal life. And eternal life is not something to be missed. Don't you wish that more people today were concerned about eternal life? Don't you wish that more people had a longer view of things instead of being short-sighted and seeing the here and now and today? They were concerned about eternity and about where their soul was going to be eternally. You see, this rich young ruler had such concern, and that speaks well of him, because as you and I know, there's but one alternative to eternal life. Jesus pointed that out in Matthew chapter 25 and verse 46 when he said, "And these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal." If you miss life eternal, the only option to that, the only other way, is to have eternal punishment in the fires of hell. And so the rich young ruler asks the right question in that he's concerned about eternal life. But also, as we think about this being the right question, there's another thing I want you to note in that verse, Matthew 19 and verse 16. He said, "Good teacher, what good thing shall I," that next little word's important, "do that I may have eternal life." You see, the rich young ruler realize something that many people fail to realize today, and that is in order to have eternal life, there are things that one must do. I was talking to a preacher once, a denominational preacher, and he told me, he said, David, let me tell you about my salvation experience. I said, okay. He said, I was sitting on the couch drinking a beer and watching TV, and all of a sudden, I wasn't thinking about God or anything like that, but all of a sudden I felt a feeling within me, and that was the Holy Spirit in me, and I believed and I was saved, sitting on my couch watching television. You see, the idea is among a number of people that you don't have to do anything in order to be saved, that God does all the doing and man is altogether passive in the process of salvation. The rich young ruler in this right question realized that that was not true, and you and I must realize that as well. Notice a few passages with me. First, in Acts chapter 2 and verse 37, after Peter stood up with the 11 and the gospel was preached in its fullness, you remember that the multitude cried out, men and brethren, what shall we do? They realized there were things that they needed to do. Over in Acts chapter 16 and verse 30, Acts chapter 16 and verse 30, Paul and Silas in prison, the earthquake came, the Philippian jailer ultimately calls for a light and comes in and falls down before them and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? You see, he realized there were things that he needed to do. Over in James chapter 1 and verse 25, James chapter 1 and verse 25, James says, but he who looks into the perfect law of liberty, he said, and continues in it, it is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. This one will be blessed in what he does. You see, the blessing is found in the doing. Even Jesus said that. He said, if you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. You see, we need to be impressed with the idea that there are things that we must do in order to have eternal life. And by the way, at the end of our time together this evening, I'm going to list those things which God calls upon you to do in order to have eternal life. But as we think about the rich young ruler and some right things with him, I want you to appreciate that he came with the right question. We'd do well to ponder the same question today. What shall we do that we might have eternal life? But in the second place, we think about right things with the rich young ruler. I want you to note that he came to the right person. You know, today people go to a lot of different sources for the important questions of life. A lot of people turn to some best-selling author that's written some book. People say, change your life, tell you everything that you need to know. People will read that. Furthermore, other people will turn to television shows or to radio programs to tell them what they need to do. But I'm impressed with the rich young ruler and what I read even in verse 16. It says, now behold, one and came and said to him, that is Jesus. And then he asked that good question that we were talking about a moment ago. But he came to Jesus with this question concerning eternal life. And let me tell you that when it comes to eternal life, and when someone is pondering that right question, what they need to do in order to have eternal life, they need to come only to one person, and that is to Jesus, for Jesus has the answer. Peter declared that even in John chapter 6 and verse 68. In John chapter 6 and verse 68, what you find is that many of Jesus' followers, disciples, turned away and followed after him no more. And Jesus turns to the 12 and he said, will you also leave me? And Peter, who was never one without an answer, spoke up and he said, Lord, to whom shall we go? Now watch this. He said, thou hast the words of eternal life. Let me tell you this, that the words of eternal life cannot be found in some best-selling book or some television or radio host. The words of eternal life can only be found in the words of Jesus, for they are His words and they are recorded in this book, in the New Testament, the Gospel of Jesus Christ. And so we need to go to the source that the rich young ruler went to. We need to go to Jesus. His words, by the way, are the words of eternal life, for they are the words of judgment. In John chapter 12 and verse 48, John 12 and verse 48, Jesus said this, he who rejects me and does not receive my words has one who judges him. Jesus said, the words that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. You see, the words of Jesus are the standard of judgment and will determine whether the things we did in this life were good or evil, whether we're pleasing before God or we're displeasing, whether ultimately we have eternal life or we have eternal condemnation. Jesus is the way. That's what he said in John 14 and verse 6. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And if we want eternal life, we must go through that one way, Jesus Christ. By the way, politician, I won't get into politics tonight, but a politician once gave a politician's answer to the question. He was asked the question, he was said, somebody asked him, they said, do you believe that Jesus is the only way to be saved? And he said, Jesus is the only way for me. Let me tell you, that's not the case. If anybody's going to be saved, Jesus is the only way for them. And we need to reflect on the words of Jesus, come to Him, asking the questions concerning eternal life, and then listen to His answers. Because there is salvation in no other name, even as Peter said in Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, that's given under heaven by which we must be saved. You see, as we think about the rich young ruler, I want you to be impressed that he came to the right person, Jesus. And we do well to come to the same person today as we look to his gospel in the New Testament to find the answers to the questions concerning eternal life. But the third thing I want you to know with me as we consider right things about the rich young ruler is that the rich young ruler came with the right spirit. We're going to look over in Mark's account, in Mark chapter 10. I want you to look with me there at verse 17. Mark chapter 10 and verse 17, in this parallel account of the events concerning the rich young ruler, we read, now as he, that is Jesus, was going out on the road, one came running, knelt before him, and asked him, good teacher, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? Now notice the spirit of the rich young ruler in this text. First notice how he came to Jesus. He said Jesus was going down the road and the rich young ruler came doing what? Running. He really wanted to know the answer to this question about eternal life. He showed some enthusiasm. Wouldn't you like to see people show enthusiasm today about the things of Jesus about eternal life? Wouldn't it be great if you had to open up these windows tonight because people ran here tonight to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ being proclaimed, to hear the answers of eternal life given by the Lord? Wouldn't that be wonderful? We just had this place crowded, people standing up. It'd be good, wouldn't it? You know, it's interesting to me. I saw one day, I didn't go, but I drove by, and it happened to be the day that I was driving by, a Walmart opened. Brand new, big Walmart. You know what? Into that Walmart, the parking lot was overflowing. I wouldn't have gone into that thing for $1,000 probably that day. Well, maybe for $1,000. But anyway. But it was just overflowing. People running to see something like that. But you see, I'm impressed with the rich young ruler in that he had some enthusiasm. He wanted to know the things that the Lord would have him to do. And when it comes to us today, we need to imitate the rich young ruler in this way. We need some enthusiasm about finding the answers of the Lord. We need to be those who do search the Scriptures daily, even as the Bereans did in Acts chapter 17, because we want to know what the Word of the Lord is. We need to show some enthusiasm to that end and have some fervor and passion in finding what the Lord would have us to do. So that's part of the right spirit. But the other part you see in Mark chapter 10 and in verse 17 is that he knelt before Jesus. Spirit of humility. You see, he was humble before the Lord as he asked him these questions concerning the eternal life. And we need humility today as well when it comes to finding the answers which the Lord has given in his word. Jesus said in Matthew 23 and verse 12, Matthew 23 and verse 12, and whoever exalts himself, rather, will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted, emphasizing the need for humility in our life. In James chapter 4 and verse 6, James 4 and verse 6, James said, but he gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. The rich young ruler was humble. As he comes to Jesus, the master teacher, the one with the words of eternal life, and he kneels down before him. And somebody might say, well, I can't run down the road and catch up with Jesus as he's walking down and kneel down before him today. But let me tell you, when you turn to Jesus for the answers of eternal life, you need humility today as well. Let me give you an example of that. Have you ever heard anybody look to the words of Jesus in the New Testament? And you read a very clear passage of Scripture, there can be no question about what it says. And they say, well, I know that it's... Let me tell you that whenever we approach the words of Jesus and the master teacher in that way, we fail to show humility. When we go to search the Scripture, when we go to find the answers of life that Jesus gives us in His gospel, we need to have humility to simply see what He says and be humble enough to accept it, to believe it, and ultimately to obey it. You see, the rich young ruler came with the right spirit. And when we come to the Lord, we must do so in a spirit of enthusiasm and humility as well. But another thing I want you to note as we consider right things about the rich young ruler is that the rich young ruler came at the right time. Turning back to Matthew's account again and looking at chapter 19 and verse 22. Notice what we read. Matthew 19 and verse 22, it says, "But when the young man," you see that the young man heard that saying. I appreciate about the rich young ruler that he came as a young man, that he was concerned even about his eternal soul in his youth. And we do well to encourage our children to be doing that as well, to be concerned about things of eternal life, to be concerned about the commands of the Lord, to be concerned about their soul even when they're young. And I've been impressed with the young people I've met here and seen here. And I can see that you're instilling that in your young people, and that's good, and we need to continue to do that. Because young people need to be concerned about the soul that they have and where that soul will spend eternity. You know, some people don't emphasize that, by the way. Have you ever heard of this? I've heard of this. Christians encouraging their children to go out and sow their wild oats when they're young. They think, get it out of their system, and then later on in life, they can settle down. Do you know how foolish that is? Encouraging your children to sow their wild oats. What if they go out and sow their wild oats and they never stop and their soul is lost? What if they go out and in the process of sowing their wild oats, they lose their life and therefore their soul for all eternity? How foolish that notion, that thought is. We need to be encouraging our children to remember the words of Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 1 and live by them. When the wise man said, "Remember now your Creator." You remember when? In the days of your youth, before the difficult days come and the years draw near, when you say, "I have no pleasure in them." You see, people need to be remembering their Creator in the days of their youth while they're young. They need to be like Josiah. And Josiah, we read about him in 2 Chronicles 34 and verse 3. Read, "For in the eighth year of his reign, while he was still young, he began to seek the God of his father David." He goes on to speak of the things that he did as he followed after God. We need more Timothys. In 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15, 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15, Paul could write to Timothy and say that how from childhood he had known the Scriptures. We need children today who know the Scripture, who are concerned about their soul, even in their youth. And let me also add this. Now, people need to be concerned about their eternal soul no matter what their age is, but I've seen this happen. I'm sure John and others have seen this happen as well, but somebody, they're advanced in years, they hear the gospel, they become concerned about their soul, they obey it. And I don't know how many times this happened, that people that come in that situation, they lament all the wasted years. All the years that they could have been serving God, all the good that they could have done, but those years are gone. Let's not let that happen to us. Let's seek our Creator while we're young, while we're middle-aged, while we're older. All of our lives, let's be concerned about seeking after our Creator, about our eternal soul, and about the commandments of the Lord. We would do well to ponder the questions that the rich young ruler did, even in our youth. And one last point I want to share with you this evening as we think about right things with the rich young ruler. That is not so much on his part, but it's the right thing involved in the events. And that is that the rich young ruler was given the right answer. He was given the right answer. In Matthew chapter 19 and verse 17, after he said in verse 16, "Good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?" Jesus said, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. Here it is, but if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments." We need to appreciate that that answer is still true today. Now, I know, even as Jesus goes on to explain, that the commandments that he's talking about are the Ten Commandments, for they were still living under the law of Moses. But nevertheless, the answer still stands sure today that if you want to enter into eternal life, you must be willing to keep the commandments of the Lord, and you must be found doing so. Let me tell you, there are some that are beginning to develop a disdain for the idea of commandment keeping. They say you need to spend more time talking about love and about mercy and about grace, and you need to stop emphasizing the keeping of the commandments so much. That's foolishness, which will lead people down a road of apostasy. must emphasize the keeping of commandments, for only by keeping the commandments of the Lord will we have eternal life after this life is over. Now, of course, the law of Moses, Colossians 2 and verse 14, has been nailed to the cross, but now we keep the law of Christ, even as it's spoken of in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 2. Even later, Jesus told the rich young ruler, come and follow me. We follow him as we keep his commandments. And by doing so, when we keep the commandments of the Lord, we will have eternal life. Over in Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 9. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 9. The apostle to the Hebrews said, and being made perfect, as he speaks of Jesus, he became the author of eternal salvation to who? To all those who obey him. If you want eternal salvation, that's a home eternal in heaven, you must obey the commandments of the Lord. That thought is echoed in Revelation 22 and verse 14. In Revelation 22 and verse 14, John penned these words. He said, blessed are they who do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and enter through the gates into the city. The city under consideration in that passage is the city of heaven. And the only way to enter through those gates in that beautiful city of heaven is to keep the commandments of the Lord. If you want eternal life, if I want eternal life, we must be found keeping the commandments of the Lord. For a failure to do so will keep one from having eternal life. But when one in faith keeps the commandments of the Lord, surely eternal life by God's grace and mercy will be afforded to them in the hereafter. We ask the question tonight, have you heeded Jesus' right answer? Keep the commandments that you might have eternal life. You see, there are many right things about the rich young ruler, things that should impress us concerning this young man. Notice he came with the right question. He was concerned about eternal life, for he didn't want the alternative, eternal separation from God in hell. He came to the right person, Jesus, the one with the words of eternal life. And we need to do that today. Turn to Jesus, turn to his word to see how we ought to be living, what we ought to be doing. He came in the right spirit. He had some enthusiasm about him, and he also showed humility. And we need enthusiasm as we look into the Word of God, and we need to be humble enough to hear the answers of Jesus and heed them. He came at the right time while he was young, and we do well to ponder our eternal soul in our youth and be concerned about the big questions of life even while we're young. And he was given the right answer, that if he wanted to enter into eternal life, he needed to keep the commandments which God has given. And so must we today if we hope to have eternal life. If you're outside of the body of Jesus Christ, we want you to have eternal life. God wants you to have eternal life. This is how you begin to get on the right path. This is the truth, the answer of Jesus. First, you must hear his words, the New Testament, the Gospel. Matthew 17, verse 5, the voice from heaven said of Jesus, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. Having heard the words of Jesus, we must believe in him with all of our heart. Believe that indeed he is the Son of God, that he did come to earth, that he did suffer and die, give his life upon Calvary's cross and shed his blood. And though he was laid in the grave, 3 days later he arose a victor over death, never to die again. And even now he is seated at the right hand of the throne of God, reigning as King of kings and Lord of lords. And if you believe in him in that way, you'll say, King Jesus, what do you want me to do? And you'll listen when he says that we must repent in Luke 13 and verse 3 and Acts chapter 17 and verse 30. You'll then listen when he says that in order for him to confess you before his Father in heaven, you must confess him before men, Matthew chapter 10 and verse 32. And we do that by making that good confession, even as the Ethiopian did in Acts 8, that we believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And once you've heard and believed in Jesus, repented of your sins, and made the good confession of your faith, you must be baptized into Christ. And I want you to understand that's not because I said so, but that's because that's what the Lord commands if you want eternal life. For when one is baptized into Christ, their past sins are washed away. Jesus promised such would be the case in Mark 16 and verse 16 when he said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. If you have not yet done those things, I want you to understand that you do not have eternal life awaiting you. But you can remedy this evening if you but obey that simple plan of salvation. Having done those things, God calls upon his people, Christians, to remain faithful to him all the days of their life. Maybe you're a Christian here this evening and you've wandered from that good way which Jesus That would be your situation, sister. We urge you to come back to Him in repentance, confession, and prayer that He might forgive. And we stand ready to pray with you and to pray for you. If there's any way that we can help any of you in making your life right with God, over Jesus, that you might have eternal life.